Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauley on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
On a Friday night, it is time for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us today. It is an off day for the Cardinals. They will resume their season and resume their series against Miami coming up tomorrow afternoon at Busch Stadium. So tonight, just a chance to kind of catch your breath after what was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful home opener yesterday, both from an on-field perspective with the Cardinals coming away with the victory, but also from just an everything else perspective, because it's always such a special day in downtown St. Louis. And we love the home opener, and we'll do it again in about a year from now. That's for sure. Hopefully a lot of strong and important baseball to be played between now and then, to be sure. If you want to join the program, you can do so by calling, texting, and or tweeting. If you call or text, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you want to tweet at me, you do that at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We were on at about this time. It was around this time that yesterday's game was starting to wrap up after the Cardinals came away with a win. And we had a great post-game show and extra inning show yesterday, talking through a lot of what went down. I wanted to get into a couple things that kind of got lost in the day. The roster moves that were made yesterday. And also kind of the murky timeline on when we might see Sonny Gray come back. So more on that in just a moment. Here's what's going to be coming up on the program today. In less than 10 minutes, we're going to be talking with Cardinals Spanish language play-by-play broadcaster Polo Asensio. Later on this hour, we're going to check in with Tony Husband. He's part of the team over at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. We'll talk City SC soccer with him. And then coming up next hour, we're scheduled to be joined by an author of a book about Pete Rose. Really interesting book. We'll pass along that information to you. And also Rachel Zimmerman. She's going to join us next hour to preview tonight's Rachel Zimmerman show, as that's going to be coming your way at 9 o'clock. So an hour after we get done, we've got the Rachel Zimmerman show. And if that's too late for you tonight, you can listen in coming up tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So I think the thing that most struck me yesterday from a non-on-field standpoint and from a non-pomp and circumstance standpoint, we've discussed all of that. We spoke with Sonny Gray yesterday in the Cardinals clubhouse prior to the game. And for those of you who are unaware kind of with where his timeline is at, on Wednesday, he threw a simulated game against or with Springfield, for lack of a better term, basically the AA Springfield Cardinals, they had reported. So he went down there and they went through a simulated game and he faced off against double A hitters. Now, it had previously been reported that the plan for Gray was he was going to do that, and then he would make a rehab start for AAA Memphis this upcoming week, Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it was. And then in all likelihood, that would lead to him making his Cardinals debut. So that is that's the indication that had been given from the team. Well, Sonny Gray spoke yesterday, and he made it pretty clear. He wasn't like angry about it or anything, but he made it clear that his preference was to make his next start with the Cardinals, that he would probably be able to throw 70 pitches or so. He threw just over 50 pitches in that simulated game. So as the ramp-up process did continue, his next step would probably be about 70, 75 pitches. He could probably get about five innings out of that. But he felt really good. He thought pitches coming out were good and that he would best just be with the big league team moving forward, and he didn't need another rehab start. There were conversations that were going to be had. I don't know if it had been even communicated with him at that point about the plan that the Cardinals had. John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol were each asked about what's next for him, and they were somewhat, they didn't really say for sure what the plan was going to be moving forward. So I'm sure there was a conversation to be had there. I guess the two things I would say is, first off, if there's any thought that putting him in a big league game now could potentially risk injury, that you just want him to pitch in a more low-pressure environment for one more game just to get his arm to where you want it to be, if that's where the organization is coming from, well, then I think you overrule Sonny at that point. Because sometimes athletes, they try to put – I mean, think about when he initially got hurt. He was pitching in a spring training game. He felt something tug on his hamstring. And the first thing he did was ask the home plate umpire, which was C.B. Bucknor, if he could throw a couple warm-up tosses because he wanted to stay in the game. Nobody stays in a game in spring training when you get a little bit banged up. That's just not something that happens, especially when it's arguably the most important player on your roster. So what that tells you is, and he eventually realized, okay, I'm not going to be staying in this game. But what that tells you is athletes want to play. Athletes always want to be out there. And there are times where you need to take a step back and say, this is what's best. But if there's no worry about like injuries or not being fully ready for big league action, if the only worry is about how stretched out he is, that he's not in a place where he can throw 90 to 100 pitches, I say let him pitch for the Cardinals next time out. You know, five innings from Sonny is probably more valuable than whatever you're going to get from whoever spot he's going to end up taking. And there's no guarantee Lance Lynn didn't get out of the fifth inning yesterday. There's no guarantee that you were even going to get five-plus innings from Sonny. Not that there's a guarantee you're going to get five from Sonny Gray, but that's the point that I'm trying to make. It's still early on in the season. Being worried about getting just five innings from somebody on April 5th, that's a little silly. We can start having that conversation as the calendar turns to May and June. Right now, it's just get as much as you can from your starter and hope that you have a rested bullpen, which for the most part, the Cardinals do have a rested bullpen, and they've gotten a couple solid start. You know, Gibson going the 7, Michaelis going the 6. That allowed them to really reset things in the bullpen. So it's going to be interesting. Right now, I think it's kind of a 51-49 proposition on what's going to happen here, but I kind of feel like that we are going to possibly see Sonny Gray make his next start with the Cardinals, maybe even on this homestand, you know, next Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that, which would be a lot of fun to be able to see. But I'm sure we'll get more details on that. I'm sure a decision has been made, and that decision will be shared with us coming up tomorrow after the off day. All right, it was a fantastic opening day, home opener yesterday. We'll talk about that, talk about the team overall with Cardinals Spanish language broadcaster Polo Asensio. He joins us in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio KMOX, the home of the Cardinals.
Elevado, profundo, jardín izquierdo, olvídese a la historia. Se rompió el empate. ¿Y quién lo rompió? Paul Goldschmidt. Ya no la debía. Y aquí la cumple. Goldie la manda a la historia. El líder de cuadrangulares de los Cardenales con 13 ahora, 48 producidas. Y lo más importante, la ventaja de regreso, 6-5 para los Cardenales. No había duda, la pregunta era, ¿qué tan lejos llegaría ese tablazo de Don Dorado?
The golden tones of Polo Asensio on the Cardinals Spanish language broadcast. They were broadcasting a Cardinals winner yesterday. Cardinals that knock off the Marlins by an 8-5 score. And we're going to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line right now. And we'll welcome on to the program the Spanish language play-by-play radio voice of the Cardinals. He is Polo Asensio. Polo, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, anytime, Matthew, you know me. I mean, whenever I can, I'm your guy, and thank you for giving me the time to talk to you, talk to the fan base, and anybody who actually just, you know, wants to listen to the show. I'm great. I'm enjoying St. Louis. My family came over to visit from California to take on the festivities yesterday, and now we have a day off, so we've been, you know, doing the St. Louis things, going to eat to places where people tell me to go eat all the time, visit the Hill. We'll get some barbecue later on. We're going to hit Ted Drew's. You know how it is.
You're just
St. Louis life, baby.
You're doing all things St. Louis. I love it. Well, there's nothing more St. Louis than the home opener. How much do you love just the pomp and circumstance and the color and pageantry and everything that goes along with Cardinals opening day?
You know, I'm gonna steal a line that Benji Molina told me about 7-8 years ago, in a line that is used a lot, especially around this time of the year. There is no opening day in MLB like an opening day in St. Louis. The Clydesdales, the parade that starts, I don't know how many miles for the Clydesdales. Then they come in to tell everybody that the festivities have started, right? That's what happens in the stadium while we are all inside. But what a lot of people don't see is what happens like 6, 7, 8 in the morning where everything is getting ready downtown. I live downtown, so yesterday I had a good glimpse of everything that goes on way before the doors open for the fans. And then once the doors open, what, almost 3 hours before game time, the long lines to come in. Because why? People know the expectation is always high for opening day, and the expectation is always high for this team. And again, it was a lot of fun all the time. Every single one. It was my 8th opening day here in St. Louis. I've been to other stadiums. Actually, I was in L.A. a week and a half ago, when the Cardinals opened in L.A. And yes, it's L.A. Yes, it's Hollywood. Yes, it's California. Yes, they have Otani, Freeman, Mookie Betts, and all of those guys. But let me tell you, their opening day, yeah, it was nice. It was cute. But nothing like St. Louis.
It was cute. That little jab right there, Polo, it was cute, you say. That's solid. Yeah, you know what? Like, one of the things I enjoy is, you know, I got downtown around the ballpark. It was probably 9:30 in the morning, so we're still a couple hours out from the gates opening. There's people with blankets and everything camped out to be the first ones in when the gates open. And I don't really know why they're doing that, but that's just part of like what you – that just shows the excitement that people have for that day.
Yeah, we don't question them. We don't judge anybody around here. Matt, come on now. You should know better.
I'm not judging. Understanding.
You were in Milwaukee just a couple of years ago. I understand that. Oh. But hey, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. Like I said, wait. You didn't like my job. You thought that me calling opening day in LA was cute. Now you don't like it. You see, now this is how it is.
No. Not understanding and judging are very different. I don't understand why you want to go lay down outside the gates, but I'm not judging you. Like, that's your thing. That's awesome. I got no problem with it. But
yes, it is.
You got 3 hours to spend some time inside. So you know what? Whatever. It's just the point I'm trying to make, Polo, is that it's an amazing downtown experience on the home opener.
And even people that don't go to the games, they wear their Cardinals gear.
Yeah.
And if you don't have something Cardinals on, you have red on. Again, this is my family, my daughter, my son, my wife came here for the second time for opening day. And the first time was in 2018 or 19. And again, I was just getting the hang of, you know, being in St. Louis, calling the games for the Cardinals. Now, not that I'm a seasoned veteran, but, you know, and now I know what this is about. So I told them, I'm like, hey, it's a party. You have to dress nice. It's opening day. Pretend this is your first day at your new job. And that's how I see it. You have to go in there with a lot of expectations, with a lot of excitement, with your best shoes, your best dress, your best whatever, and show up early, because if you show up late, chances are you're going to miss the parade. Not only the parade with the Clydesdales, not only the parade with the Hall of Famers, but also the parade with the current players. And it's just a big party, like you said, you know, three hours before game time, you know, freezing outside, and the best fans in baseball already waiting in line to get in there. I mean, that's what you expect in St. Louis. And that's why every year, like I said before, every year the expectations for this team, for this organization are big. And hopefully this year we end in a way, way, way better note than last season.
Yeah, and yesterday was a nice win. Not a bad start to the season, 4-4 after a really tough road trip. But the fact that the team was able to come up with those late runs yesterday, get after the Marlins, we've seen some good things already this year. Yeah, I think people are still trying to figure this team out, but we've seen some encouraging things here through the first week plus.
A lot of spark. This team has a lot of spark, a lot of life. Something that we didn't see last season. And, you know, Nolan is not hitting the way Nolan wants to hit. Nolan is not hitting the way we want him to hit. Goldie, you know, he shows flashes. So imagine, let's just hope, you know, let's imagine when these two guys start hitting and then they follow with Contreras, they follow what Mason Wynn is doing to start the season and all the little factors that are coming into play. I mean, how about Ivan Herrera, man? I mean, this kid has been waiting and waiting and waiting. He gets his first real chance to show something, and look at what he's doing with the bat, with the glove, with the arm, with his attitude. I mean, he is doing a fantastic job. That's why, you know, like I said before, we all expect something way better than last season, because this team, I think, is ready. It's eager to show the world, especially San Luis and the world, that the Cardinals, what happened last season was an accident. This is going to be a different season. We have Victor Scott. Yeah, he's struggling with the bat, but he's making great defensive plays. He's running fast. He's creating havoc whenever he gets on base. So I like it, man. I like what I see so far. Again, imagine when Goldie gets very consistent and when Nolan starts hitting. Actually, yesterday we saw some of it, but hopefully he hits the ball out of the park and he gets going like the Nolan that we know.
That home run from Herrera, that thing was a rocket. What was it, 107 off the bat, over 400 feet? I mean, that was a big-time home run yesterday from Herrera.
That kid has been working hard for years. Not last season, not 2 seasons ago, 3-4 seasons ago. And I remember on my first spring training that I got to visit Jupiter, and it was 2019. That was my first spring training. And I was in the backfield, you know, where all the magic happens. And Yadi pulled me aside, and I say, Yadi, tell me about this guy. What do you see? He pointed at Ivan. Again, this is 2019 at Ivan. Back then, he was, what, 20? He said, this guy, Polo, this guy is the future. This guy, if you think I'm good, this guy is going to be better, especially with the bat. And that's what we, you know, that's what we've seen. That's what we're looking at right now. Hopefully, he gets there. And I mentioned that to Ivan this spring training. We had a cool interview, Benji Molina and I, with Ivan, and say, hey, Yadi said that. What do you think about that? And he just, you know, he looked down. He's like, look, Yadi's my hero. There's a reason why when I was in Panama, I decided to be a catcher. There's a reason why when I was in Panama, I liked the Cardinals because of Yadier Molina. So to hear that he told you that 4 years ago, it makes me feel great. But also, it's a lot of responsibility to keep on working. And I just love that tandem. Ivan and Wilson, you get to keep your catchers fresh. You get to keep them both in the lineup if you wish. One is at the DH. And I like it. I like it a lot, and I am very happy for Ivan and for everybody. Hopefully he continues. Hopefully the kind of, I don't know, freshman year perhaps, even though he's had a few tastes of the big leagues in the last couple of years, hopefully this season where he's going to be here for the whole season, he gets to do something special.
Just a minute or so left, Polo, but don't want to get you out of here without talking about what's going to be coming up next Wednesday afternoon. It is Baseball in the Classroom. You and Benji are going to be doing an event to help folks learn some of these Spanish baseball terms. I know you did it last year. It was really successful. They've made it even bigger this year with where they're getting it. People can buy tickets at cardinals.com/theme. You get access to your guys' program plus the game, and I know this is a really, really fun thing that you guys do.
It is, man. Last year, we had about 175 to 200 kids. This year, last I checked, it was close to 1,600 tickets sold for this event. So there's going to be kids from all over St. Louis and also adults that want to learn a little bit about baseball, want to learn a little bit about what we're doing in Spanish, a little bit of my journey, a little bit of Benji's journey. And we're going to have some people, and we're going to have a little panel, actually, for the first time. Perhaps a player that is bilingual now, you know, one of those guys that decides to start learning English and to talk about the importance of being bilingual and the importance of always having doors open, even for those who you don't understand what we're talking, but having those doors open, the Cardinals organization with a lot of Latinos and people from other ethnicities working in the front office. So it's very important to do that, to be open and to show up, like I said, and like you mentioned, this Wednesday it's going to happen. We have over 1,600 tickets sold. Hopefully, you know, we get to 2,000, and it's going to be a fun time. You get to be at the stadium really early, and it's going to be a lot of fun because we're going to be outside. And also, Matt, and I know we have to go, the exhibit. You know, this year the museum, the Hall of Fame exhibit, the Cardinals Museum, has a special exhibit on Latinos, Latino Cardinals, and the impact the Latinos have made with the Cardinals. Viva los Cardenales. So if you have a chance, go check the museum. If you have a chance, buy a ticket, cardinals.com/team, and get the ticket, and we'll see you there on Wednesday. And again, I am very excited. I mean, I'm always excited, right? But this season, I feel it. I feel it. I feel that it's going to be a different kind of excitement. Maybe a little less power from our bats, but a lot more excitement and a lot more of spark plugs coming.
Great stuff, Polo. We love talking to you. We'll see you at the ballpark this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's go. Gracias. Viva los Cardenales.
Awesome. Thanks. That's Polo Asensio, Spanish language broadcaster with the Cardinals. We appreciate his time. Up next, we're talking City SC with Tony Husband. He joins us in just a moment. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We do roll on City SC. What a sports day coming up tomorrow for St. Louis teams. We'll get into all that coming up in just a while. But specifically for City SC tomorrow, they are going to match up against FC Dallas. Ponce Health Sciences University City game time is 7:30. Ponce providing world-class education in healthcare. And to preview this, we're going to bring on the guy who's going to be on the call for Apple TV Plus and MLS Season Pass. It is Tony Husband. Tony, thanks for taking some time with us. How are you?
Great to talk to you, Matt. And yeah, what a sporting weekend we've got here. I come into town today and we've got baseball opening weekend. We've got UFL. We've got MLS. My word, what a great sports town you have here. And it's so good to be here again.
What was the thing that most jumped out as you got here on what, you know, obviously the Cardinals season starting yesterday from a home standpoint? What have you really noticed since being in St. Louis?
Well, it's just a fantastic buzz, isn't it? When we stay and do games in St. Louis, we actually stay at a hotel very close to Busch Stadium. So I really do get the buzz of a new year and new hopes and expectations in Major League Baseball, because there's so many fans who stay around the hotel who obviously came in for yesterday and stay on for tomorrow. So a real good buzz around the baseball, of course, at this end of the town. That will be replicated, I'm sure, up at City Park tomorrow as well.
Is there a certain food or certain restaurant you have to get your hands on whenever you come here?
Well, I would be very open to recommendations on food, because I know you have so many wonderful choices in St. Louis. I've been up to the Italian district before and had some wonderful food up in that part of town. Down near the Dome as well. I seem to remember going to a Thai restaurant one time that was excellent. I'm always open to recommendations whenever, because to be honest with you, Matt, you know, I'm sitting in my room right now in St. Louis and you know, I'm looking at numbers and statistics and things like that for this game tomorrow. But I get as much joy and a lot of research from just talking to people, and when I go in, whether it be a diner in the morning or a restaurant in the evening, and hearing what people are saying about the team, how people feel about a team at the moment. Always up for those suggestions.
Okay, so from a soccer standpoint, what are you hearing? Because it's kind of been an uneven season to start so far for City. They've had a bunch of ties. They did not play especially well against Real Salt Lake last week. Obviously, last year was fantastic. What's the overall feeling about this team that you're hearing right now?
I would say, in a word, reality. You know, I mean, last year was incredible. Absolutely fantastic. At this point last season, 15 points through six games. Almost unbelievable if we hadn't actually seen it unfolded, you know, with our own eyes. And I still go back, probably the most memorable night of last season was the very first game when I was lucky enough to be on the call in Austin when St. Louis won the very first game in MLS. This year was always bound to be just a little bit of reality hitting. You know, ultimately, St. Louis have only lost one game. You know, there's no reason to be panicking. I mean, I'd be more panicking if I was Dallas, who've lost four straight coming into this one and seem to be genuinely in a little bit of crisis. With St. Louis, I think, you know, there's some pieces of the puzzle that are still coming together. There's one or two injuries. You know, it's a classic year two kind of scenario. I'm still very high on this team and Bradley Carnell and everything they're doing. I think still there's a little bit of disrespect towards what St. Louis did last year, because a lot of people want to just look at the underlying numbers and the statistics and say, oh, you know, there was overperformance in every aspect. Well, okay, I'll take that to a point. But as someone who watched this team with his own eyes, you know, this is a good setup and a good roster here. Needs a few little bits and pieces, potentially. Bradley Carnell was saying to us this week, you know, still on the lookout for some extra parts. But every reason to be optimistic that this can be a very competitive team again in year two.
It's somewhat remarkable because you mentioned both each of these teams are one-win teams, but because City has four ties compared to Dallas having four losses, two one-win teams that you look at very differently.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. You know, and I can't say anything else that, you know, you look at Dallas's trajectory at the moment. This is a team that have got plenty of talent. They've spent big money on a striker, the Croatian Peter Musa, who we should see tomorrow. But he's only delivered one goal so far. I think they're still figuring out how they get the best out of him. You know, they've got some good parts across this roster, but they're also riddled with injuries. No Jesus Ferreira, U.S. men's national team star. Tomorrow he's out with a hamstring injury that's really bothered him since preseason. It just feels like, for me, Dallas have just stumbled into the season and they just haven't been able to stop the momentum. They're just rolling down a hill at the moment and they can't pause it, and they really need to. So, you know, this is set up for a really good opportunity for St. Louis to just get back into winning ways, get that first victory here since March 2nd, and just start to build a little bit of momentum of their own. Because, like you say, you know, I saw the end recently of the game in Los Angeles, the 3-3 tie there. Look at how well and how rated Los Angeles Galaxy are this season. That's a great point on the road. There's never a bad point, really, on the road. So 2-2 at Austin, you know, that's not a bad result. It's really just the dropping points at home that would be more disappointing, because, you know, City Park has been, such a fortress. So tomorrow represents a great opportunity.
What did you see from City in that 3-1 loss to Real Salt Lake that you think is easily fixable?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I watched that game back, and, you know, I feel sometimes, you know, sometimes special players do special things. And Chicho Arango, you know, there's a debate about whether he should have been on the field by the time he scored a kind of 20-minute hat-trick at the end of the game. You know, in a lot of games, if there'd been a clearer camera view of the altercation he had with Totland in the box, he may well have not even been on the field to score the hat-trick. And I felt that, you know, in general, St. Louis looked pretty solid in the game. You know, they've talked this week a little bit about perhaps just there's moments of concentration they're losing. There's moments where they just need to do certain aspects of the game a little bit better. If it's just a tension from a restart or something like that. And they've talked a lot about the DC United game where they scored and then they promptly conceded immediately from the restart. Sometimes you can be at your most vulnerable when you think you're in a position of great strength, having maybe just scored or be in a good phase of the game. I didn't see a whole lot that would ultimately really concern me about this St. Louis group. I think obviously at the back, Bradley Carnell searching for a little bit more consistency. He's had to chop and change a little bit at the beginning of the season. And we know that Joachim Nielsen, who we waited so long to really see in a St. Louis shirt, now he's got a rib injury, so doubtful for tomorrow. Tim Parker, though, looks like he's back, so that's a boost. But you just want a bit of consistency across some of those parts. And there's still some new players in the team, the likes of Chris Durkin, who came in the offseason, who are still adjusting, you know, to their team and their new teammates and the way that this St. Louis group want to play.
Last thing for you, it's not City SC related, but soccer related. One of the big stories right now is a report that Messi kind of went after the Monterrey locker room, and Messi should return this weekend, which is fantastic. He didn't play in that matchup. Everybody's trying to downplay it. What's kind of your takeaway on one of these off-field type stories involving Messi?
Well, I mean, I guess I always will fall back on the kind of, you know, I've worked in the sport for a long time, and I think anybody who works in any sport, you know, you hear a lot about these kind of things that happen. I wouldn't take it too seriously, and I say that without knowing intimate details of exactly what happened. I mean, what I do know is that it's absolutely essential that he's on that field next week for that second leg. I think he's critical to Miami's chances of progressing in a competition that they really want to do well in and be on the world stage next year with the Club World Cup. I thought it was a good game on Wednesday night, but ultimately a very, very costly defeat for them. They're an interesting team, aren't they, right now? I mean, I think we look at Miami, and they're so different from anybody else. It's so dependent on who's available for them. They play Colorado tomorrow. He's been declared as fit and available for selection. But surely everything for Miami revolves around that second leg in Monterrey. If they can pull off a victory with him in the side next Wednesday, would still go down as one of the great MLS victories in Mexico. And, you know, if you get him on the field, he can make that happen. He's that special. But it's interesting, and I think it all helps with the kind of excitement and the buzz around MLS right now that, you know, when you get some of these stories. But as I said, I haven't seen too many of the details on it, but it certainly stokes things up, not just for that CONCACAF game next week, but I actually think, you know, the performance of the Mexican teams against the Major League Soccer teams this week, with Tigres doing pretty well up in Columbus as well, is just a really good sets up this League Cup, the second year of the main League's Cup tournament that we'll have this summer. So the Mexicans are out for a bit of revenge after what happened last year. So I think this is all good stuff for that.
Tony Husband will be on the call on MLS Season Pass and Apple TV for City. It's coming up tomorrow as they take on FC Dallas. Tony, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy St. Louis. Have a great call tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll catch up again real soon.
Look forward to it, and I hope whatever anyone's doing sports-wise this weekend, whatever you're going to be watching, I hope you have a great time.
Yeah, I think folks will. Thanks. That's Tony Husband joining us. Speaking of that, man, oh, man, oh, man, is there a lot going on locally in sports this weekend, specifically tomorrow. We're going to go through all the details so you can put together your sports itinerary. We'll do that next as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
I'm Adam Wainwright, and you're listening to Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We continue on with a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. By the way, that bumper music right there, that's Adam Wainwright. He's in town this weekend, right, Matt Pajeski? Is he opening up for the Zach Brown Band? Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Is that that's at Chaffetz, right?
Oh, I don't know about where it's at. But
you're not going?
No. I'm going to the City SC game.
Okay. Well, so that leads us right into quite the weekend this weekend. So you have Cardinals baseball, obviously, as they continue their home opening weekend. They are going to match up against the Marlins coming up tomorrow and also on Sunday. We already talked about City SC. They are going to be in action against FC Dallas, and that's going to be coming up tomorrow, 7:30. By the way, our group of stations here at Odyssey St. Louis, if you want to listen to Cardinals baseball, we've got it for you right here on KMOX. If you want to listen to City SC, you'll be able to do it on our sister station, Y98. Are the Battlehawks. They are opening up their season, not opening up their season, they're opening up the home portion of their season when they take on the Arlington Renegades coming up tomorrow night. That's going to be a 7 o'clock kickoff over at the Dome at America Center. Blues hockey, not in St. Louis, but they are still playing. They are out west as they are set to take on the San Jose Sharks. And we still have some postseason basketball going on as well. We talked with Coach Tillett earlier this week from the St. Louis University women's basketball team after as they were leading into a matchup against Vermont. They won that game, and now they are in the WNIT championship game, and they've got another big opportunity as they are going to face off against Minnesota, and that game is going to be coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Now, this is where that all gets connected to the Zach Brown Band, Adam Wainwright thing. I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that. I know Chaffetz Arena is booked. I'm like 99% sure it's the Zach Brown Band concert tomorrow. So Chaffetz Arena was not available for the SLU women, and Minnesota's home arena also not available for the SLU women. So it's been worked out that tomorrow's SLU Minnesota game is going to be played over in Edwardsville on the campus of SIUE as they are going to match up there at First Community Arena at SIUE. Good stuff from SIUE being able to host the St. Louis University women's basketball team as a former Division I women's basketball broadcaster. teams I have broadcast for have played in the WNIT twice. This is a great opportunity for SLU. They've got a chance to win a championship, so hopefully they'll be able to come away with a victory tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock over in Edwardsville. Go do something tomorrow. You got lots of options. This is Graybar Sports Open Line.